How did you like the way they treated you?
Oh, I thought all right. Aiken's comment was reasonably good, and the committee was okay. I didn't bother about that, and the papers weren't bad this morning.
I think we ought to try to find, though. We ought to, I know it's against your principles, but you ought to have some of your men to see that if Fulbright's going to come out and speak for the committee, somebody else ought to come out and speak for the committee. You get three men out of 20 and they come out and say the jury feels like this man ought to be convicted. Yeah. Well, hell, the jury does. It may be 17-3.
Now, you're quite right. Symington could have stepped out after Fulbright and been affected there.
Sparkman? I know this has never bothered you, these pinkos around the government functioning, but it's distressing me, and I think that we're getting into a major problem, and it worries me, and I want to see what we can do to take any effective steps that we can to see that the homosexuals and the commies and the agents are not working in the State Department and the Pentagon and the Congress. I'm just seeing too many reports that don't look good to me. I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to start any Red Scare, and I don't want to be a Mitchell Palmer or a McCarthy, but I want to carefully, prudently, from a good liberal standpoint, take every precaution to see that secret material is not available to people who do not have effective clearances in some way or other. We check them and recheck them. I want you to give some thought, maybe set up a special group of people that are conscious of the danger of material getting in enemy's hands.
Right.
I'm seeing where senators are making these great studies on China are having regular contacts with Chinese communist agents. I'm seeing where members of the staff of the Foreign Relations Committee have very questionable contacts, backgrounds, drinkings, and sexes, and things of that kind with various people from the Soviet and the Yugoslav and different embassies there. I have watched the PAWS record and the advocacy. You've heard me touch on that a time or two. These things just seem to me to fall into slot. I noticed that Mr. Marcy, Foreign Relations, refused to fill out a national security form.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was nasty as hell, yeah.
Well, he is behind most of this. His wife is over at USIA, and she has some problems over there, too, the same way. Now, I think that the chiefs of staff ought to meet and tighten up some way, and no one in the White House, and I just start with the president and Secretary of Defense, any congressional committee, could have available this material that didn't have the most recent clearance.
Right.
I don't see any reason why every one of my special assistants shouldn't have to have a fifth form filled out that would show whether they had had any charges or any thing brought against them, any what organization they belong to or something. Whatever you do on one of those forms before you give them a Q clearance.
Yeah.
Now then, the atomic energy, they sought a Q clearance for him. They sent him a form. You ought to look at that form. I don't know what it is, but whatever form it was, he refused to execute it. And the record is not good on about four or five of them. And they've offered to furnish women, and they do furnish dates, and they do have contacts. And these contacts are kind of like our friend over here in the Budget Bureau's contacts. They're made with the knowledge and in the interest of the government. But when I see them, about four or five of them, one of them was an employee of a very left winger. I've forgotten who it was, but somebody that was defeated overwhelmingly way back there. And when they went to him to inquire, he said, well, that this person is so bad he had to fire him. And now they wind up in Fulbright staff. So that's where a good deal of this trouble is coming from.
No question about it.
I just don't want to stir it, but I just want to see before you go and testify this way or others that the people admitted to the room are people that have clearance And we're in a war now, and let's tighten up a little bit, and let the staff people make my special assistants that receive, make Califano fill out a form, make Bill Moyers, make Bob Fleming, every man over here. Then just do it with the committees the same way, and you'll find that the Morris assistants and the Fulbright assistants, that you're going to find some folks that won't fill them.
Yeah. Pretty good. I think we can do that, Mr. Burton, on any real public notice.
Just do it very carefully, and what do you think, the Fulbright thing going to go on?
Well, it's going to go on with the Chinese experts next week. I don't know where this will take us. Fulbright and I got in quite an argument yesterday as to whether China had demonstrated the intention of aggression. And it's quite clear that what he's going to try to prove next week is that China is not aggressive. That they've talked that way, but they haven't acted that way, and we should look through their talk and not credit them with deeds that they haven't demonstrated and presumably aren't going to undertake, and that they're not a dangerous power, and we shouldn't think of them as such. All of this is designed to back into a conclusion that we're irresponsible in our present conduct of the war. This is why I hit as hard as I did on the risks. What are our risks today? What is the source of the risk? It isn't our actions today. Our actions are prudent and restrained. The risks of today are a function of two things. One, the treaty of 1955, which the committee at the time said attached great risks to our nation that we otherwise wouldn't have to bear. And secondly, these risks are a function of an aggressive China, which is proving not by its words but by its deeds its aggression and intent to commit further aggression. But it looks to me as though the next week's hearings will be designed to remove one of those assumptions and premises. And we had a hell of an argument on this. I don't think he's going to publish the hearings of yesterday because there isn't enough in them to favor his side. They were going to talk about it this morning.
Had a long talk with him about you last night, and he started off with the impression that that you were great executive would be fine for the Ford Motor Company, but that on government policy, that that's a little different. It required an understanding of human beings and individuals and the dignity of the individual and so forth. So I just accepted that part of it and gave him my evaluation at some length, and it looked like it just staggered him in a very calm and very friendly manner, and told him that if I had any reservations about you, which I did not, they were because you weren't combative enough, and that you were too much of the professor, had too much of the professor approach, and were too much like him. And I said that both of you, these goddamn crazy scholars that go around here with a pencil on your ear and want to try to dream out something when sometimes you have to stand up. And I said, your friend Rusk is more of a militarist than McNamara. He just couldn't conceive of it. And finally, I pointed out that you had taught and that you had been in the service and that you had been out at Ford, but that you hadn't been the big president of Ford, but a month or so, and Kennedy hired you, and that they asked you to be Secretary of Treasury, and you weren't interested. You came down here primarily to try to give some leadership, a direction to the basic central problem that the big government had at that time, was how to control the generals. And I said he's done the best job, and the only job that anybody ever had. He'd had Forrestal jumping out of a window. And he had to admit that, and he had to agree that, and he left, I think, with a different attitude, and his wife was just nodding all the time. And I said, now you take this man's wife, the most socially conscious woman in town. She spends her days with the Head Start and her nights out with the Negro children at the hospital and the Sundays out at the Deaf and Dumb Institute. And she spends her whole life working on projects that Betty said was the most wonderful woman in town. She just started blowing it up. So he got off of that jag and was rather friendly, but had a stare in his eye. That's not good. The man is worried. He's sick. The man, I think it in time, he'll either blow up or get back on, we'll have a reconciliation. That's my evaluation of him. And I spent 30 minutes with him just looking at him. He's got a real stare in his eye.
I appreciate what you said about me. I'm amazed that he'd say what he did, the son of a gun.
Well, he just, he has that impression. You see, the impression that nearly everybody had when he came in, that here, hell, you were just a business efficiency expert. We're right out of the NAM mold, that headed just like you'd get an impression of Donner or Knudsen or somebody. That's all they heard about. Now, these other things, they see them different from time to time, and they hear that the general's in revolt, but they really don't see it. They never have gotten out really in revolt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they'd have a few days testifying, cussing you. Why, the other side would get over, but we can't have our cake and eat it too, and we got the very best possible of two worlds as I see it, and I'm kind of like the professor. I play it as I have to.
I agree with you.
But I think that that what, contrary to what I'd expected, I thought they would haze you and embarrass you and try to do that, and I thought they'd do it to Humphrey. They did to Humphrey, but I think they pulled in their horns a little bit.
It wasn't bad.
Well, now, will you think about setting up a group of maybe, I don't know, whether it's CIA, State and Defense? I think you have the responsibility to the president to see that secret material does not get in unauthorized hands.
Right.
Now, how do you determine what's authorized and unauthorized? I want you to put as careful a check on that as is humanly possible with a spy ring operating in this town.
Right.
And I want you to be damn sure that you testify that that has been done. Right. Then I want it to apply to the president first,
right,
and the Secretary of Defense second, and the committees of the Congress third. And I just want to be damn sure that the chairman of each one of them understand,
right,
that every man in there has got to have a clearance. He's going to be in that room or have any of this material available to him.
All right, very good. We'll do it.